Danny. She's freaking me out.
I just have some questions for you, Dungeon.
Minya narrowed her eyes. Her next words were far rougher, nearly a snarl.
Last chance, Dungeon, or I'm going to reach in there and take your core. I know you have a wisp in there. I heard you talking to her. Feel like gambling with her safety?
Oh, crap. She can hear me? How many people can hear me now? This is getting annoying. Minya blinked.
There are others?
Other people can help me prove my sanity?
Her expression had turned introspective.
I take that as a yes. Hello, Minya. Please don't kill me?
I began talking to her hopefully.
What?
Minya refocused on me. Well, mostly. Her attention was seeming to wander a bit.
Oh. Now, if you are talking to me, I won't hurt you. Never ignore me,
she snarled the last part.
I will not ignore you, I fervently promised.
Good. I hear, she swallowed. I hear that the essence in here is pure, that anyone can use it. But upstairs it certainly had taint.
It did? Danny?
My wisp slowly moved into the open so Minya could see and hear her.
Hi, human. Please don't kill me either.
Danny was trembling a bit.
What? Oh, no, I won't. I've seen what happens to dungeons that lose their wisps. Hello, by the way.
Minya's attention seemed variable.
Why isn't the essence pure upstairs anymore?
She demanded with a demented stare.
I would assume because we are slowly getting farther away from the surface,
Danny soothingly told her.
Essence is flowing in from outside as well, and away from Cal, the pure essence has a chance to mix with what is already there.
Well, fix it. It is inside your influence. You are just getting lazy and fat with this rune feeding you like a hedonistic emperor.
Minya spat to the side. I absorbed it from force of habit.
Hey!
I looked at her and realized why she could hear me.
You have a broken aura!
She has a what?
Danny muttered, obviously not hearing me correctly. I was examining Minya. She had a similar setup to Dale, but poorly done and with a substandard core. The core wasn't even around her center. It was in her stomach.
Wow. That is a lot of corruption.
Minya snarled and took a threatening step forward.
If I feel anything funny, I will destroy you.
What is she talking about?
Danny whispered as she eyed the crazy lady.
I didn't keep my voice down, and Danny winced at my conversational tone. I assume she is warning me away from messing with her anatomy, as she has only very weak aural protection. I'm assuming she is here because she wants to make a deal, so...
I turned the conversation back to Minya.
Out with it. What are you offering, and what do you want?
Minya looked downcast at losing her upper hand and took a seat on the floor.
I've never heard a low-level dungeon like this be so coherent. Usually it is snarls and a few threats until they hit the upper C ranks.
She seemed to be talking to herself.
I am right here. Thank you for the compliment, but get to the point, please.
Minya took a deep breath.
I need to give you a bit of background information. I've been a dungeon diver for decades. A few years back, I got impatient. I wanted to break into the A ranks and didn't want to do it the right way. The slow way. I found a dungeon that had four types of essence in it. An elemental dungeon. That is, it had earth, air, fire, and water in near equal amounts.
She paused, tearing up a bit.
I forced open two more affinity channels. I had always had strong affinities with air and fire, but I figured that if I could just double the amount of essence I drew in, I could reach the A ranks in half the time. Mere days after I had opened the channels, someone killed the dungeon. I could hear the screams in my mind as its core shattered and its thought patterns dissipated into its influence. A huge amount of corruption was released somehow. My raw meridians were forced open wider than I had wanted, allowing so much corruption into me that I would never have a chance to reach the next step in the B ranks, let alone the A-ranks. Not only that, but the land is still poisoned and unlivable.
She refocused on me.
That is where you come in. Ever since then, I can hear the voices in the dungeons. Others have called me insane, and I was starting to think they were right. You, though, she cackled. You respond. You talk to me.
So you want me to... What now? I cautiously asked.
I want you to tell people that you are alive, she cried out. I want them to know that I was right all along.
So you don't want me to fix you?
You can't fix me, she growled. Someone already tried that. When I got free, the largest chunk of them that was ever seen again was a molar I somehow missed. Sure, I lost my place in the guild, but they deserved it.
Celestial crap, she's bonkers,
Danny mouthed at me while Minya was distracted. And they tried to fix you... how? Humans can't seem to work directly with corruption. Uh-oh. My curiosity was piqued.
And you can... get real, she snorted, to my great offense. They decided that what I needed was to swallow a core, and that they would just take it out after it had absorbed the taint.
It seems that you do have a core in you, I noted, keeping the conversation going as I eased my influence into her brain. She chuckled darkly.
I assume you have seen the process, then, where a person swallows a core and then pukes it up a bit later. Sound accurate? Well, when a person does not take the core willingly, there are side effects. Like the core sticking to them and draining them slowly. It is a bad way to die, Dungeon.
The name is Cal, I offered amiably, determined not to be caught working inside her organs during the conversation. She nodded.
Well, Cal, the core in me absorbs all the corruption, all right. Also, any essence that I try to cultivate. I've had to carve runes to block the flow of essence just to keep the core from exploding and turning my abdomen into ground meat when it finally becomes too full.
She lifted her shirt, exposing runes carved directly into her skin that glowed with a malevolent light. I memorized the pattern. I would experiment with it later.
Heh. Thank you, Minya.
They seem a bit, shall we say, flawed? She agreed angrily.
Skin heals over time. The rune is breaking up and will soon allow essence into the core. Then I will die. I want to prove my sanity before then. Also,
a bit of essence arched from the rune, shocking her with a tiny bolt of lightning.
It hurts like a mother.
So, that is all? You want your sanity proven and not to be fixed? I clarified. She folded her hands and tried not to be angry.
I would love to be fixed, but it isn't possible.
Yes, it is.
Stop messing with my head! She shrieked. Just because I am desperate doesn't make me an idiot.
Well, what do you have to lose? Make a deal with me. What do I get for fixing you? I remained calm, carefully attempting to hide my greed and excitement. She looked at Danny.
Is he serious? Also, is Cal a he?
Danny smirked.
He is serious. And since he has no reproductive organs, he does not actually have a sex. I say he because he has a masculine voice, and I think he was male before he got in that core.
Huh. I might live?
Depends on what you think your life is worth. I was trying to rush her so I'd get a better deal.
What do you want? I'm very wealthy. I could...
she started. No, I already have a guy for that. How about this? I want an agent, someone who follows my orders and willingly gives me knowledge. I watched for her reaction, ready now to open veins in her brain if she refused.
You want me to tell you about groups of adventurers?
She asked with an odd inflection.
Not necessarily,
but a warning about people that are after dungeon cores would be nice. She chuckled wetly. It seemed she was crying. I found that memory stones are very useful to me. I want those.
How many?
She sniffled.
What do you mean?
You want them. A specific one? A set of dwarven mathematics?
No, I want all of them. I want to know everything that anyone knows, I replied dreamily. The sum total of all knowledge.
She looked crestfallen.
I'm not that rich.
You will be, I chuckled, mentally rubbing my hands in greed.
I had her. I just knew it.
Anything you need in order to get them, I will provide. Money? Done. Empty stones? I've got hundreds. You will also be well paid for your services. I'll make you fantastically rich if you want it.
I just want to live,
she softly muttered.
Then that is even easier for me. Shall we get started?
I had already picked out the spot to start working.
Do we have a deal?
She took a deep breath, eyes dilating a bit.
Yes.
Let's get started!
I inflamed a tiny portion of her brain matter, and Minya slumped unconscious. I nudged a vein in her head softly. Danny looked at me reproachfully.
Really?
Why do you think I wasn't worried about her threats? Danny, a human agent in the human world will be a huge benefit. Dale could have been the guy, but no, he had to be all whiny about how he got to survive. Ungrateful, I tell you.
I was looking at the interior of Minya's body at this point.
Woof! Lots of damage.
I suppose if she hasn't been able to cultivate for a few years, her body must have been running off whatever she had stored.
Look at this spot near her center. I wonder if this is what happens when mana doesn't have a layer of essence as a buffer.
Oh, right. She was in the B rankings. Yikes. I can't believe how much internal damage she has. How is she alive right now?
Danny seemed suddenly impressed by this person's tenacity.
Force of will?
I created a molecule-thin barrier of essence in her flesh, separating a few inches of tissue and spinal cord from her body. The beast core was too tightly bound to these areas to just take it out directly. I pulled out and tossed away the chunk of meat. At this point, I was holding her body together directly with essence, replicating veins with hollow barriers. After I absorbed that chunk of tissue, I was able to perfectly reproduce it in place without the core and hooks of essence. I reattached nerves and blood vessels, regrew bone and muscle, and made sure it was all working together correctly. I wondered why it was so easy to do. Mana users were exceedingly tough. I realized as I was working that without mana being able to flow through her, the bonds had weakened. If she were unable to cultivate long enough, her body would have literally fallen apart, chunk by chunk.
All set. Now she will be able to cultivate again.
I looked at her ragged body.
She deserved a bonus for being so willing to work for me. Maybe a few more alterations?
I went through her body, fixing imperfections and damage like I would my tunnels. I smoothed her skin and replaced the areas that had runes carved into them. Certainly not just to harvest more runes. It was to help her.
I promise.
I repaired the external signs of wear next, the lines of stress and pain, making her hair shiny and lustrous instead of lank and unwashed. I even trimmed her nails to a reasonable length. Her clothes were, well,
needing to be burnt doesn't quite cover it.
Instead of trying to wash her or something of the like, I simply absorbed any foreign substance, then grew a new set of clothing on her. Danny was fascinated by the process and offered a few other minor details that I wouldn't have ever thought about, like opening capillaries a tiny bit wider in her lips so they would be a brighter red, or adjusting her eyebrow hair to be very thick, but only in a certain area. For some reason, she also had me remove the hair follicles anywhere that wasn't on her head. Danny has strange concepts of what fixing means. It was now time to wake Minya up. Hopefully she wouldn't mind the changes. After all the fixes, there was nothing keeping her from getting up on her own, but it seemed that she was at the point of physical exhaustion. No wonder she had seemed insane. Even if she only needed a tiny bit of sleep, she still needed it.
I washed her brain free of the buildup of toxins that lack of sleep allows to accumulate, and she opened her eyes. She started moving slowly, obviously waiting for the pain that had been a constant presence in her life for years. I knew this because I had had to work on her frazzled nerves. When she sat up and looked at herself in confusion, she had to ask,
"How long was I out? I feel like I've slept for weeks. I feel amazing."
"About 30 minutes,"
Danny informed her primly.
"I hope you never forget your part of the bargain. Cal really went out of his way to fix you. He could have created a dozen boss mobs with all the essence he used on you."
Minya smoothly rose to her feet and began walking around. Her movements before had been jerky and rushed, like a person overdosing on stamina potions. She did a few flips and danced around, getting a feel for her body at the same time as showing her excitement. She whirled around and looked at where I was.
"I am yours forever, Cal. Anything you need, anything in my power to do, I will. Your whim is my order."
A line of her aura suddenly raced to me and connected to my core, then dispersed into the dungeon at large. Also known as my aura.
"Celestial crap! What was that?"
"That was an oath. At the B ranks, when mana is a part of our body, our word becomes law. Words have real power, and a spoken oath is binding."
Minya smiled, much more appealing now that I regrew a few teeth and straightened the rest.
"I am yours unless you release me from my oath."
"Back off, hussy,"
Danny muttered very softly.
"Danny, the elves are coming back. Go invisible."
Danny vanished from sight with my warning just before the elves walked in.
"Who are you? Where is Minya?"
the female elf sharply demanded, drawing steel. The male scoffed. "Who cares? The bitch knocked me out."
"What did you just call me?"
Minya turned toward them menacingly. They gasped as they saw the changes in her. Her voice sounded a bit strange to them, having been healed as well, but they recognized her quickly enough.
"Minya?"
the female murmured in wonderment.
"Mm-hmm."
Minya allowed a smile to slowly spread on her face.
"I'm going to sit and cultivate while you do your thing."
"You're going to what?"
the male sputtered.
"You're committing suicide."
"Oh, be quiet,"
Minya muttered and moved to sit down.
"Minya?"
"Hmm?"
"Move over about a foot. There is a small hole there. Do you have a cup or empty vial? If so, dip it in and collect the fluid,"
I directed my new servant. She dipped in a vial that she had hastily poured out, a potent stamina potion of some kind that decreased the feeling of tiredness. She dipped the vial into the hole and retrieved a shining fluid, condensed essence.
"Do you think you can safely drink that? It is absolutely pure. You don't need to refine it. Just add it to your center," I inquired of her.
She murmured softly, so the elves wouldn't hear what she said.
"Yes. I have the patterns in place for essence up to the B ranks. I am just depleted. This will help me get back on track. Thank you."
I closed the hole as she put the vial to her flushed lips and drank. Her aura began to glow as her center drank in the pure essence. She didn't even show signs of discomfort. Only relief, as her meridians began moving a torrent of energy versus the trickle it had been.
"Can I have more?"
she asked a bit plaintively. I tried to respond, but her aura had thickened and condensed, apparently blocking my words. She seemed to understand the problem after a few minutes of failed communication, and subtly rearranged her aura so that the tendril of her aura that formed her oath to me had a clear path to her brain.
Odd. "Can you hear me now?"
I prodded her again, earning a disgusted sound from Danny at the repeated question.
"Yes!"
Minya cried in rapture, making the elves whirl around, looking startled. Danny chuckled.
"That sounded overly sexual."
Minya blushed and kept her face resolutely turned away from the elves' view.
"Right, so that amount of essence takes quite a while to accumulate. I cannot just give it away constantly. Sorry,"
I told her pseudo-sadly. I wasn't just hoarding it. Nope.
No, I am sorry. You have done so much for me, and I keep asking for more.
She paused a moment.
Can I help you at all?
You had said something about fixing the essence upstairs. Something about me being lazy.
Minya blushed.
Yeah, sorry.
What did you mean? Is there a way to fix that easily? Every little bit helps, after all, and I planned on keeping her, essentially forever, as a researcher.
I've seen dungeons collect the corruption into minerals. I've never seen any of them work directly with corruption like you seem to be able to do, so it should be something easy for you. They put veins of minerals along the air vents, sometimes with beast cores at the end. The core draws in corruption along the mineral, leaving purer essence overall. I have never seen essence as pure as it is here, though, Minya thoroughly explained to me.
What kind of minerals?
Danny inquired on my behalf.
I had to be faster at asking questions, apparently.
Minya thought a moment. I've seen different things, but if I had to guess at the best mineral to use, every type of essence seems to have a preference, so using topaz for celestial, emeralds for earth, ruby for fire...
She seemed hesitant to continue.
Go on. What is the matter?
I am unsure of the next. I can only say what Legend says, and I don't want to give you bad information.
She grimaced and continued.
If Legend holds true, opal is the only mineral that Infernal really likes, but it travels through diamond fairly easily. Wind, for some reason, likes tarfite, and water is attracted to fluorite.
Danny looked entirely confused, but I knew half of the patterns to make those.
Okay, what would you need in order to find me tarfite, opal, and emeralds? I think emeralds are going to be the first priority because of all the earth essence I collect.
Minya bit her lip.
How much do you need?
A tiny amount. A sliver, really. Just enough to analyze.
Her reaction confused me.
What is it?
Opals are treated like a controlled substance since they are allegedly known to help necromancers. Even a small one is going to be really hard for me to acquire.
She looked around like I was about to start beating her.
No real rush. Infernal essence isn't particularly abundant in here. Now I know why so many weapons and armor have gems stuck in them, at least.
I started growing veins of crystal and gems throughout the dungeon. It would take a few days, but if she was right, this could make me even more appealing to adventurers.
I think it is time for you to get going. The elves are looking at you funny.
She glanced around, stood up, and bowed obsequiously at the silverwood tree.
Ha! That would throw off the elves.
They walked to the stairwell, and before they left, she looked back and whispered,
Thank you.
Don't mention it. Ever.
Dale.
What now?
Dale sighed at the courier that ran up to him. With a grin, the young man handed him a sheaf of papers.
Approvals that need your signature, new businesses and housing developments that need your signature, and yes, these are from the city planner.
Dale's eyes flicked around as he scanned the document. It wasn't a magical contract, but just like any legal document, it could still ruin his life for a long time if he signed it without knowing what it said. His elven political tutor liked to slip in documents to test him. Sure enough, here was one saying he would wash dishes for a week in the guild mess hall. He shuddered. He signed what he needed to and threw the rest into the fire. The courier ran off with the documents and a shiny new silver coin as an unfamiliar couple of people walked up to him. They had on a lot of armor. How did they wear all of that? They were at least a foot shorter than Dale and, oh, they must be dwarves. This was confirmed when the one on the left took off his helmet and squinted at Dale.
You Dale?
Yes,
Dale answered cautiously, examining their auras.
Are you sure? You don't sound sure.
Dale grinned. I just don't know you is all. I'm Dale.
Good! I'm Bjor Moonshadow. This is my brother Brick, Stonewall Moonshadow. I have a proposition for you.
Bjor announced abruptly.
Do tell. Dale grinned wider. He liked this brusque fellow.
Walls!
Brick bellowed. Dale and Bjor looked at his unsmiling face.
Yes, thank you for your contribution, Bjor chuckled as his brother's face flushed. Well, Dale, it seems you own this area. It is poorly defended, and you don't exactly look like you are swimming in gold.
Bjor looked meaningfully at Dale's work clothes, torn and worn from daily bunny hunting.
I have a full contingent of dwarves ready to step in and start building, and you seem to be without defensive walls around your... city?
Dale nodded. It'll get there.
Right, well, you'll never see better stonework than dwarven make, and as we have mages along, it will be a fairly fast process. What do you say, Chief?
Dale pondered for a moment. Walls certainly were going to be essential, and with winter fast approaching, they would help to cut down the wind a lot.
And in return for your expert services?
Flattery! I like it! Bjor chuckled. We have a few requests, but nothing that will cost you more than lease for a bit of land. We want to build a place to live, essentially a barracks.
Brick made a noise.
And Brick here wants to build an orphanage. We'll even fix and maintain the walls for you. What the abyss?
A dark elf had just stepped out of nowhere and muttered to Dale that he was needed near the dungeon. Dale nodded his assent and turned back to the pale dwarves.
I think that sounds reasonable. If I may ask, why do you need a new place to live?
Well,
Bjor coughed. He was as pale as the elf that had just vanished.
For one thing, it is obvious that you'll give anyone a chance.
He looked meaningfully at the space the dark elf had recently occupied.
Next, we left our ancestral home after the king tried to have us killed off. Put us in a fight against overwhelming odds against an orc horde.
You are welcome here as long as you follow the law, talk to my city planner about the details for the wall and your area.
Dale patted the dwarf on his arm. He still looked a bit sad.
I'm sorry. Anyone who would do that does not deserve your loyalty.
Brick snorted as they walked toward the building Dale directed them to.
Yeah, Dad's an asshat.
Dale started, looking back in shock. Great. More exiled nobles. 17. Dale hurried toward the dungeon and soon discovered the reason for the summons. There was an elf blocking adventurers from entering, and the noise from the crowd of backlogged parties was inhibiting Dale from hearing why she was there. As he got closer and heard what she was saying, he sighed and almost left. Someone else could deal with the crazies for a while.
No, I will not let you continue to murder helpless bunnies. They have done nothing to you, and their ruthless slaughter has gone on long enough.
The lovely elven maid was shrieking at the grizzled man telling her to move.
Get out of the way!
The man roared, attempting to shove her to the side. She flipped him onto his back, promptly breaking his arm and two of his fingers.
No! I am against violence, and all you want to do is get money. You will all promise to stop this madness, or I'll kill you all. I promise on my good name, La Porra de Lagomorfa.
Oh, Fort,
Dale walked over to her.
Go away. This is a dungeon. Everything in there wants to kill us, and this is a livelihood. For a lot of people.
They don't want to hurt anyone. I'll prove it.
She shoved Dale away, then ran into the dungeon, vanishing from sight. The crowd went silent, shocked at her outburst. A few moments later, concerned people started talking about following the obviously unhinged elf, but it wasn't long until everyone present could hear the drawn-out, then suddenly cut-off screams.
What the hell is going on today?
Dale muttered as people looked around uncomfortably.
Has everyone lost their minds?
He turned toward a tap on his arm, and seeing who was doing the tapping, simultaneously lost his breath and blushed. Looking at him was a stunning beauty. She was smiling at him, wearing a set of clothes that could have been painted on.
Are you Dale?
Dale felt a bit crestfallen.
Oh, gods, not another one.
Excuse me?
Sorry, it has been an odd day. Dale rubbed his head violently for a moment and took a deep breath, plastering on his most political smile. What can I do for you, ma'am?
Well,
she looked him over.
I was hoping to talk to you about a mutual friend.
Oh? Dale tried to think of who she could be talking about. Who would that be?
Come to my wagon in a few hours. We have plenty to discuss.
She turned and started away, moving in a joyful way that, to the experienced, told a story about freedom from pain. Dale saw it as flirting. Where can I find you? Dale called after her retreating form.
Just ask around for Minya. You'll find me.
She tossed him a look and a wink over her shoulder. Dale watched her go for a few seconds. Damn. Now we have prostitutes here. At least Hans will be pleased. Is this something that will have to go in the charter?
Dale!
What now? Dale growled as he turned to face a slightly deflated-looking shopkeeper.
Oh, I can come back later, Your Grace?
Tyler started to hurry away from the irritable Duke.
Don't go!
Dale grabbed his friend.
Sorry, Tyler. It has just been a long, strange day. What is going on?
Tyler lit up when Dale started walking with him.
Well, rumors of royalty coming to live here for the foreseeable future is attracting people in droves. Business is booming!
Tyler cheered, covertly rubbing his hands together at the thought of new customers.
I'd better get with someone and discuss laws about moving. If the new people coming don't have skills and a way to provide for themselves, we are going to have a serious problem with crime soon, Dale muttered to himself.
Say again?
Nothing. Go on.
Well,
Tyler showed a toothy smile to his landlord.
I hear you have been looking for a dimensional bag. Just so happens I got in a new shipment this morning.
Dale chuckled. He should have known Tyler was here on business.
I really do need at least one. How much are you charging?
For my savior and landlord?
Tyler pretended to think a moment.
A mere 30 gold.
Dale stopped and stared.
Good lord, man! How much would it be if you didn't like me?
A platinum at least.
Dale choked a bit at the amount.
Of course, if you were just a normal customer, I'd charge you about 85 gold.
Tyler grinned at the look Dale gave him.
You knew what I meant, Dale huffed, crossing his arms.
Tyler nodded sagely.
Yes, but you need to learn to be specific, my friend, especially if your goal is to progress in cultivation. A misspoken promise or threat can kill you at that point. And do not worry, no charge for this information.
Dale squinted at Tyler.
Now you are just playing with me. Okay, what is the lowest quality bag you have? The cost, I mean. Lowest cost bag, he amended quickly.
You are learning, if slowly. That will cost you 28 gold.
He held up a hand.
That is the lowest I can go, even for you. I am taking a loss on it at the price I have quoted you.
Dale grumbled, but agreed to the price. A short trip to the temple's bank later, he was the owner of a new, shoddy dimensional bag. He told Tyler he would return later for a better quality one, and walked to the dungeon's entrance.
Cal? Dungeon? Dale called mentally.
I responded instantly. Oh, hello, Dale. Anything interesting happen recently?
No.
Dale sounded suspicious.
Should something have happened?
Don't worry your pretty little head over it. Oh, wait. Yes, you should have met someone that would freak you out a lot. Looks like it is my turn to ask a question.
Right. Well, here is the bag you wanted.
Dale tossed it into an empty part of the room, hiding his actions by pretending to urinate against the wall.
I had forgotten about your question game.
I didn't. Also, thanks. I look forward to seeing what you bring me next.
Dale grunted and turned away.
Dale!
The heavily armored half-dwarf walked up to Dale, grinning happily.
I'd hoped to run into you soon. Maybe when you had cleaner hands, but now we'll do. Hello, Evan.
Dale almost seemed rather happy to see his friend.
How are things? I heard you found a deposit of aluminum.
Yeah, I did.
Evan's chest was puffed up proudly.
Though by this point, I am almost certain it has been converted to mithril. Those dwarves paid through the nose to get it.
He laughed at a memory. Dale was a bit nonplussed.
You sold it?
I thought you would hold on to it for a while, drive up the price. Also, for some reason, I would think you would give dwarves a discount. He trailed off as Evan's grin vanished.
You know what I am, yes?
Evan spoke seriously, more so than Dale had heard since he tried to rescue him. Dale winced.
A half-orc, half-dwarf, yes? Yes, Evan spoke slowly. Do you know that it is not only elves that hate mixing of the bloodlines? Do you know how one of my kind is made?
Well, I... Dale hated conversations like this. He had no idea what to say.
That is correct. Half-orcs are almost exclusively products of, shall we call it, forced impregnation?
Evan shook his head and leaned back, stretching a bit.
My case is a bit different, though. You see, he laughed bitterly, my father is a dwarf. He and a warband got drunk on stone piss, and he took a bet saying he could bed any woman. They got to choose who he would try to get with. That bet was made right before they attacked a small orc camp, and guess who his friends chose? My mother. So I have no love for dwarves.
Dale tried desperately. Evan started laughing at Dale's face.
Don't worry too much, Dale. I had a good childhood. I just have a bit of a constant need to screw over any dwarf around me. Orc women don't have children any other way. They are a very warlike race. I grew up a bit shorter than the full-blooded orcs around me, but I had dwarven stamina mixed with orcan strength. I could have ruled the clan, but I wanted other things out of life than a small war band and constant fights for territory. Which brings me to my reason for seeing you.
What can I do for you? Dale asked, with relief. Happy the awkward conversation was over.
I am in the mine easily twice as much more than anyone else.
They don't realize it yet, but the deposits of gold and silver are becoming more and more rare, as are reward chests and gems. Evan had lowered his voice quite a bit, looking around to make sure he wasn't overheard.
I think a change is coming again, maybe a new area for mining. If it is deeper in the dungeon, I am going to need an escort to get there. I want to ask your team before anyone else does. I do the work of a full team by myself, so escorting just me would be much less work. Likely it would pay better, too.
Interested? Dale pondered for a moment.
We have been spending a lot less time in here than we should, since we can move through the first two levels fairly easily.
I will talk to my team. If we see anything below, we will let you know, but I can't make any promises just yet.
My vote is yes, if that helps.
Evan nodded.
That's all I can ask for right now.
He clapped Dale on the back.
I'll look forward to seeing you soon.
He stepped up to an unmarked wall and started slamming it with his pickaxe, the runes on it allowing him to be lost from sight after only half a minute or so. Dale made his way back to Tyler, collecting a much better dimensional storage bag from him. Tyler had assured him that this bag also reduced the weight of whatever went into it, and that he had never found an upper limit on the amount of storage space it had. Basically, if Dale could carry it, and fit whatever it was into the bag, he could just keep loading things into the storage area. If the runes on the bag were bound to him, he could say a word to bring out the item he was after. Of course, a bag of this quality went for a premium amount. Dale had hit the end of his funds, but he had good credit with Tyler, who agreed to let him pay it off in weekly installments. He left Tyler's shop, excited about his new purchase, when he heard sobbing coming from a nearby tent. Remembering his last venture into the shop area alone, he very cautiously went to inspect the noise. He peeked around the corner, noticing a small group of people huddled near the source of the sobbing.
They're gone!
She hiccuped, returning to sobbing immediately. Dale moved in closer, recognizing the people as members of the Spotters, a group dedicated to the research and cataloging of all things mystical.
What's happening? Dale softly asked the closest man.
The man, interrupted from his mourning, turned toward Dale full of fury. Seeing who it was, he deflated, almost going limp.
Spotterton was destroyed.
I'm sorry, I've lived near here my whole life. Where was this? Dale pressed for a bit more information.
Spotterton!
The man looked upset that Dale didn't recognize the name.
The training town for all aspiring spotters, located several hundred miles due south of here? The pride of the Phoenix Kingdom?
The man searched Dale's eyes, hoping for a spark of recognition.
It was destroyed. The people slaughtered in the streets and their homes like animals, and just left to rot.
It had to be necromancers,
the crying lady screamed.
Who else would hate us so much?
The others seemed to agree, but Dale was only a bit confused. Why would necromancers hate you? A dirty look was sent his way in an attempt to chase him off, but Dale didn't budge. Ultimately, an owlish man deigned to offer an answer.
We, the Spotters Guild, have been the source of almost all the new runes for the last 2 centuries. If it weren't for us, this area would be crawling with the undead by now.
But this one word from Dale's mouth caused many fists in the group to clench simultaneously.
If it were necromancers, why would they leave the dead?
Anger turned to pondering, pondering turned to concern, and concern to fear.
But,
a small voice whispered,
who else would dare?
The only people who could tell for sure are you.
Dale looked around the despondent group.
You are spotters. The only people qualified to determine if this was magical in nature are you. I am so, so sorry for your loss, but you cannot let this hold you back. Even now, time passes and details are fading. You want to find out who killed your people? Me too. I am certain the kingdoms want to know as well, but who else would be able to tell them?
Faces around the group hardened. Tears dried up. Several people nodded, and they set off to make preparations. Dale hurried back to the temple, making for his room. The night had quite a chill to it now. Cal.
This is so confusing.
I had just finished eating the dimensional bag, and the pattern it offered was so complex that even my analytical mind was having trouble understanding the nuances of what was happening.
Why is that?
Danny was taking the day off from training and had settled onto a pillar of stone I grew just for her. It had a pillow on it made from the pink fabric I had gotten for Dale's discarded robe.
The way this pattern moves together, it... Imagine a person building a house. They know what they are doing, and they know how it should look when finished. Sadly, they only have a hammer and nails. With me so far?
I offhandedly tried to see if she was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Danny seemed less than impressed with my visualization technique.
Okay, now again, say that person only has a hammer and nails. Instead of a saw, they beat the wood until it is broken pretty close to the way they want it. Then they just pound nails into the wood until a house shape is made, and finally slather mana on it to hold it together. Yes, they did the job, technically.
Is the house garbage?
Yes.
And so is this bag.
I grouched, already trying to fix the errors in the pattern.
I guess you should be more specific with Dale next time.
Danny chuckled at my grumbling. I paused. I hadn't considered that.
Dale, you sneaky jerk. He is the bad carpenter that did the minimum amount of work to fulfill the order.
Drat. Pretty much.
Danny laughed at my consternation.
And the bag! The pattern is obviously enhanced with mana to create the effect, but for the life of me, I cannot figure out why!
I was so angry that I dropped a 200-pound rock on a basher. It barely had time to squeak before being crushed.
Sometimes you just have to kill something. Plus, the rush of essence helped me calm down a bit.
Danny was now paying full attention.
Why do you say that?
She seemed to be holding back from saying something.
It is like, how do I say this? I think I could replicate this without mana. Entirely essence-based. The pattern has mana encasing it, though, and I'm unsure if this is a safety feature or something else.
I was now focused on Danny. She was oddly quiet.
What?
Well,
she finally just spit out what she'd been thinking.
There has been a theory for a long time that almost anything done with mana could be done with essence.
And it has... what? Never been tested?
It has, but always unsuccessfully. People have worked together, tried to form things, spent decades doing research. The issue is basically that no one has fine control over all of the affinities, and even the people that are masters of one type have trouble meshing their essence with others.
She considered her next words.
You, though, hear me out. The biggest reason for getting into the B rankings is so that you can simulate the effects of all the affinities.
What does this mean, Danny? I was getting excited about a new potential project. Dangerous times. She took a deep breath.
I think that mana users fill in the blanks of their creations with mana because they cannot control all of the essences. You can. I think that you may be the only being I have ever heard of that could do it. As a matter of fact, you have already come fairly close with the abilities your assimilators are using. Those are certainly outliers in terms of your pure power at the C rankings.
I could create things that currently only B rankers are able to? I felt a broad mental smile forming. You are saying that this bag is only enhanced with mana because the creator had to do it that way?
Yes.
Oh, yes! Ready to do some experimenting? I was already setting up the testing room.
Never,
Danny whimpered, making me laugh. The first step was to unspaghetti the pattern. To clarify, there were loops and whorls in the pattern that had been erroneously placed. I assumed they were included because the maker cannot see the aura of inanimate objects. I wonder how people feel comfortable creating runes. Do they just force the pattern onto an object and hope for the best? That must be a terrifying experience. I digress. So, I worked at untangling the pattern, properly refitting it to itself, and adding connections in places that should help to increase the stability of the dimensional warping. Yes, dimensional warping. Someone had to have done this for the first time in the past. I don't know who they are, but they must have had a pair on them bigger than my dungeon to be messing around with forces like these. Make no mistake, this stuff is dangerous, and this bag in particular was a disaster waiting to happen. How dangerous? Ask what remains of my test bunnies. I didn't use bashers for this. They were too intelligent for me to feel comfortable using them like that anymore. I kept thinking that I had the pattern correct, but a surge along an essence stream would collapse the whole thing randomly with rather... unrelated? I think that is a good word choice. Unrelated effects. Like a patch of rock melting across the room, or my rabbit transforming into a bird. That last one was really disturbing. All the extra mass peeled away in what had to be a painful way. Danny asked why I insisted on having rabbits in the room while I worked, and after an arm appeared and pulled a rabbit in, I explained over the squelching noises drifting through the portal. You see, I thought that pattern was correct. There was no indication that I had it wrong, and I would have started testing it. Something on the other side was waiting. Something hungry. If the rabbit weren't there and I made a full-sized version to test, what do you think would have happened? Danny shuddered as she remembered a similar experience.
Fair enough. Do all your testing on rabbits.
She shuddered again.
Maybe add a few more in there just for, you know, peace of mind.
The experimenting continued, but after 2 days, I decided that it needed to wait while I added on the new mining area. The current third floor had been slowly descending over the course of a few days, and now was deep enough down that I could add in the new third floor. I started with a simple layer of stone for the floor, compressing it to become exceedingly dense. I had become very proficient with the creation of cursed earth, and it was only the work of a few hours to add the needed runes to the flooring. The walls of the labyrinth had taken weeks. I felt proud of myself. Next, I... what the heck is that? Something is scratching at me. That is, at my dungeon. Not in the normal areas, for mining and such, but on the underside near the river I used to power my steam traps. I focused my awareness on the itchy area and almost screamed a little as a pick suddenly burst through the stone where my attention was gathered.
Danny, someone just broke into the dungeon. I have no idea how to handle this situation, I informed my friend and advisor.
Where? Wait, what? Why would someone do that?
Danny laughed, trying to hide her nerves.
This is the same as writing a suicide note, right?
I guess. But who would come up into the dungeon? They would have had to be even further down in the mountain than we are, and we are... I ran a quick calculation. 40 feet from the surface to the entrance, 60 feet down to the first floor boss, a spiral stair down to the second floor was roughly 30 feet. I'd made the next descent into ramps, so ore could be carted upward easier, another 30 feet or so. Last, there was a long slanted staircase to the new fourth floor, but a straight drop would mean we were 210 feet below the surface.
How did they break in?
Danny demanded, calling a wither cat into the area so she could go hunting.
Also, where?
They smashed through the floor using a pickaxe design I don't recognize. They came in through the wall near where the river exits the dungeon. I directed her, proud of her quick reaction time and willingness to charge into battle.
I'm on my way,
she told me grimly, in the mind-speak way that she was only able to use when possessing a dungeon creature. I refocused on the area where the pick had broken the stone. Why hadn't I taken the time to reinforce the floor down here? I mean, I knew why. I didn't think anything would be able to enter from below. The pick was still swinging, and another few were joining it. There were noises coming through as well, what could be conversation, but in a language that I had never heard before. Danny had arrived and was hiding out of sight in the pitch-black darkness. The hole was still growing and was about half the size of a grown human when the ringing noise stopped. A head poked through cautiously, and wide eyes adapted to the darkness looked around. They focused on Danny, who was crouched and ready to pounce. The creature spoke almost recognizable words at that point. Danny growled a low, threatening tone that made the hair on the small creature stand on end as it slowly backed away, deeper into the hole. Danny, do you recognize what that is?
I do,
she growled again as another head poked into the hole. The terrified face vanished quickly after that.
These are the reason the Elder Races are so against intermingling of the bloodlines. A cross between gnomes, orcs, elves, and humans. The cross made a monster race that was enslaved by orcs centuries ago. These are freaking goblins.
Dale was having a rough day. Several of his requested teachers had shown up at the same time last night, but they were demanding payment up front. Having spent all his coinage on his new dimensional bag, he had to inform them that they would need to wait to be paid. He was able to set them up for room and board, but not much else. If Dale didn't earn enough money to pay them, and soon, they were going to leave. He was going through his normal morning warm-ups when the beautiful woman he had met recently walked up to him.
"Are you ignoring me intentionally, or did you simply forget I existed?"
Her first words chilled Dale more than the morning mountain air.
Please let me know, so that I can decide how to respond appropriately.
Dale settled his form into a different stretch. Good morning. Minya, is it? She nodded, crossing her arms. I am exceedingly busy. Please don't feel ignored. Every morning I start my day by preparing to enter the dungeon. I eat a small mountain of food, trying to regain my muscle mass. I had a small sickness, let's say. Dying counted as a sickness, right?
That doesn't change,
she furiously tried to cut him off. Hold on. He tried to remain amiable. Then I enter the dungeon in an attempt to get stronger, as well as make enough money to replace the gear that was stolen from me when I was beaten, robbed, and left for dead in the dungeon. I also need money for my instructors. He changed position to stretch his back. After the dungeon run, which takes usually 2 to 3 hours, I go train with my essence instructor, trying to harness my affinities into a useful skill set. Now after that, I have lessons in administration, mathematics, politics, logic, debate, tactics, and a few other things I am sure I have forgotten. I'll remember them in a nightmare, I'm sure. He shifted into a sideways bend that Chandra had suggested. Around 10 in the evening, I finished those classes. Minya tried to speak again, but Dale cut her off. Then my new training begins. Hand-to-hand combat. My instructor for that seems to hate me. He straps weights to me and forces me to run and dodge things that he throws at me while he beats me with a staff. Dale paused, looking dreamily into the distance. Soon, I might actually get to throw a punch during training. At something other than a wooden post, that is. Well, that ends around 3 in the morning. I get 3 whole hours of sleep if I don't want to bathe. Apparently, I only need 2 hours of sleep now, but a lazy morning sounds oh so nice. Minya waited to see if anything else was forthcoming.
Is that why you were wearing that odd assortment of mismatched leather armor?
Dale blushed a bit at the mention of his ill-fitted armor. My team decided that going into the dungeon without any protection whatsoever was tantamount to suicide. They all got me something different as a present. No, they did not go shopping together, but it is the thought that counts. Is this really what you wanted to talk about? I am leaving in a moment. Minya remembered that she was angry at being ignored.
I understand that you are busy, but we need to see each other. Why didn't you come to my wagon?
Dale blushed. Listen, you are certainly beautiful, but I have no time for romance. Not even a romantic evening. Plus, I simply have no coin to spare right now.
Coin?
Minya was confused for a bare moment before her temper flared even higher.
You think I am a prostitute?
Dale stepped away slowly. I am guessing by your reaction that I am wrong.
Damn right you are! Minya growled. If you were anyone else, I'd scalp you. No, Dale. I am here to talk to you about our friend, Cal.
Dale stopped moving, going totally still.
Where did you hear that name?
He whispered, hand unconsciously clenching into a fist.
Where do you think?
She broke into a smug grin.
Looks like you aren't the only dungeon-born around here anymore.
What did you just call me? Dale had never heard the term, though it sounded like it would make an amazing title for a book.
It means that you are beholden to a dungeon for your life. It either created you, gave you back your life when it was lost, accepted an oath from you, or your parents were created by the dungeon. You don't even know what you are. You didn't bother to ask?
It's his turn, Dale muttered. He was looking down, deep in thought.
What?
Nothing. Look, what do you want? Dale demanded, angry that this skimpily dressed person was shoving things in his face that he'd rather avoid.
I want you to make the dungeon strong. I want you to live and keep this area safe for Cal and his wisp,
Minya announced vehemently.
I want to advise you on the best course of action, should the need arise.
She smiled and reached out to him. Dale waited for her to stop talking.
No.
No? What do you mean, no?
Her hand was frozen in the air. Exactly what it sounds like. I don't trust your judgment. The dungeon does its best to kill all of us every day, and I don't need another person whispering in my ear that is only working for their own agenda. You are always free to talk to me. Everyone is. But I will not guarantee that I will listen to you. Actually, knowing that you are working for the dungeon intentionally means that I will likely ignore your advice. But you are free to give it. Good day. Dale walked away, leaving a sputtering, furious Minya behind. Dale walked toward the dungeon. His talk had put him behind, so he had to miss a hot breakfast and instead eat dried rations. He was munching on some hard bread when the rest of his team appeared.
Morning, all. Dale muttered around a mouthful of crumbs.
Good morning, Dale. We missed you at breakfast. Everything okay?
Adam was looking at Dale's pale skin and sunken eyes.
Just swell.
Dale swallowed the rest of his food.
You all ready? Anyone grab something from the job board?
Rose spoke up.
I took a request for herbs and assorted plants from the garden room. It pays a few silver, but it's upgraded to gold if we can bring back an entire glade mob. Apparently, they are stuffed full of things that both the alchemist and apothecary want.
I've got one for healing potions,
Adam spoke up.
They're selling for a premium. Apparently people are showing up all over the kingdoms with mysterious wounds, and the healers can't keep up with what is being demanded of them.